Blog Talk Radio. Out of his sight
As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. Puffeth means to blow or breathe at them. Verse 6, he has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. Adversity means that he will never be in trouble. Verse 7, his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief. Mischief, that's trouble. And vanity is emptiness. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places door he murders the innocent. His eyes are privately, that means secretly, set against the poor. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den, and a den is shelter or a cave. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He does catch the poor when he draws him into his nest. Verse 10, he crouches and humbles himself that the poor may fall in by strong ones. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Forget not the humble. Wherefore doeth the wicked contend? And that means C-O-N-T-E-M. That means despise or hate God. He has said in his heart, you will not require it. You have seen it, for you beholdest mischief and spite. Spite is, mischief is trouble, and spite is a hateful feeling. To require it with your hand, the poor committed himself unto you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break you the arm of the wicked and evil man. Seek out his wickedness till you find none. The Lord is king over forever and ever. The heathen are perished. Perished means died out of his land. Lord, you have heard the desires of the desire of the humble. You will prepare their hearts. You will cause your ear to hear. Verse 18, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed. Oppressed means depressed as well. That the man of the earth may know more oppressed. I have read to you in its entirety Psalms 10. I pray that our Father will give you a better understanding of the reading of his word. Now, let us turn to Luke chapter 11. But before I get to Luke chapter 11, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for this day, for this Sabbath morning, and I come giving you praise, Most High, for allowing me to be in the land of the living this Sabbath day with excellent health and a sane mind. Thank you for exposing and removing past laws under Governors Engler, Granholm, and current Governor Snyder in Michigan. It matters not if the wrongdoers are Republican or Democrat. they are on the same page as far as I can see. Their policies were meant to take our assets, Detroit's assets, like passing emergency laws, illegal laws like emergency manager or driver's responsibility law. Father, remove all their laws and restore what the citizens of Detroit had, and bless those lawyers from Southfield and New York who are coming and suing the state of Michigan and exposing the state's wrongdoing because of its black population that those who are in rule tend to hate. As I said before, Father, it doesn't matter if they're Republican or Democrats. They're here to destroy us, your children. We are your children, the children of Adam. Thank you, Father, for keeping natural and chemical disasters away from Detroit, Michigan, your blessed city. Thank you for keeping us sheep from the evil of those who are in rule today. I say this prayer in Yeshua's name, also named Jesus. Amen. 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 This is the Feed My Sheep show. I am Sandra Harris, your host. Happy Sabbath, everyone. The only day in the Bible that tells you to keep holy and rest. Today, we will be reading the model prayer. And if I can locate my notes that I have misplaced, I do want you all to remember the Passover that is coming the week of April 20th through the 29th. And right after the Passover date, it's the law of the unleavened bread. We are to, if we eat bread, do not eat bread that has been made with baking powder or baking soda or anything that will puff it up. We are followers of what Jesus said. We may listen and read what Paul wrote in his letters, which confuse people, especially, I think it was in the book of Galatians that I heard one minister saying, yay, we don't have to follow God's law. But I totally disagree with him. And us as black folk, we are now beginning to know that when our foreparents were brought to this country, when we are the actual Israelite, there is no other group of people that can say in the Bible that they were put on ships and brought to this country as slaves. None but us black folk. And we were settled in the southern states, or the 11 or 12 southern states. There were already, as they mentioned on a program yesterday, eastern Michigan is beginning to expose what I once mentioned, where black people were already in the United States of America before England took it over and brought white folks here. Those black people, they came from Spain. They were called the Moors. And I ask you sheep who listen to me, and those who listen to me every now and again, to find out if what I'm saying is correct. The Moors were driven from Spain. and they landed where? On the east coast of the United States, and they should make it known. There are a few of them left, and what I have read has been fascinating so far, but I am to stay focused on what God told me to do, and that is to feed his sheep, and I can only do that by reading the Bible. And I read from King James Version of the Bible. I want you sheep to have your three P's ready, and those are your pen, paper, and pencil, just in case I say something that you might want to jot down. For instance, I've told you about the Moors coming from Spain, and they were driven out by the white people, the Edomites, the Adumians, or the white men, and they fled on ship to the east coast of the United States of America. Again, you check it out. Now, we're going to read today from the book of Luke, chapter 11, the model prayer. Let's read, starting at verse 1, Luke chapter 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, that he is Jesus, when he ceased means stopped, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John, he's talking about John the Baptist, also taught his disciples. And he, Jesus, said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed means holy, be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen to that. Verse 5, and he, Jesus, said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him in midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, that he here is the friend that he has asked for bread. And his friend is saying, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give you, T-H-E-E means you. Verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity means demand, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. Verse 9, and I say unto you, Jesus saying, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. That's very important, sheep. There are things in my life that I need to ask for, and I shall receive them. They will be given to me. I need to seek, and I shall find the one that is missing from my life, and knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. It's going to be opened unto me. I just believe that. Verse 10, For everyone that asks receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give a fish, giving him a serpent? Now, I misread that, so I must read verse 11 again. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give a fish? Will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If he then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil came out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he cast out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Desolation means destruction. And a house divided against a house falleth. It falls. Verse 18, if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? So that lets me know that Satan has a kingdom. And you can see how it's behaving in the state of Michigan. Just think of how the emergency manager, it all stems from that. Governor Granholm creating an emergency manager. But this Republican governor carries it through. He finishes it. And you can see how the destruction that has come to Flint, Michigan, and what is happening to Detroit, all that money in 1999 that the school board had in Detroit has been stolen. And then in 2009, and what is happening now, they have brought out, like, and I say they, it's the lady who is with the federal government. I think her name is Barbara McQuaid. Father, let me stay focused, but let me finish saying this. In 2009, the Detroit residents at that time were more people were here than there are today, passed a bond, $500 million, I think it was. I will have to check that out. For the Detroit School Board. And Ellen DeGeneres has sent money because it has been exposed that one of the schools that she wants to help rebuild, I think she has given $5 million. I don't know if they have received it, but she should make sure that money goes to the school repairs that she is given that money for. All that money, a federal government, I think Mrs. Lynch, the new Attorney General of the United States, should come and investigate this emergency manager stuff and give Detroit back Belle Isle, its water department, those people have done things that are illegal to us. And let me get back. I was read where a house divided will fall. And we are divided. And I was hoping that the lawyers from Chicago who put Illinois' Governor Gavorovitch, I can't pronounce his name, I'm trying, those who put him in jail sue the state of Michigan. But the guy from Southfield, the lawyers from Southfield in New York, I pray that you will do your due diligence and expose them all and get our money back. And I'm talking about my money, because my retirement pension that was not supposed to be cut was cut in 2011, and I have been borrowing ever since. But let me be focused on reading Luke chapter 11. I left off at verse 18. It reads, If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Which you say, I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom your sons cast them out, therefore shall they be your judges. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. I hope that you understand that. After I finish reading chapter 11, you go back over it yourself. We are at verse 21, where it reads, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, let me see, this popping up on my screen. Excuse me, sheep. I got lost at verse. I'm going to start at verse 22 because whatever popped up on my screen, I wanted to read it. It reads, verse 22, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him and taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divided his spoils, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he said, I will return unto my house whence means where I came out. Verse 25. And when he cometh, he find it swept and garnished. Garnished means in order or clean. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company, that means in the crowd, lifted up her voice and said unto him, to Jesus, blessed is the womb that bare you. And that was a black woman's womb that bare Jesus. And the paps, P-A-P-S, our breasts, which you had sucked. Verse 28. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. I'm at verse 29. I want to say that it has been proven through the Limbaugh tribe that the children of Israel is a black man, and Jesus was a black man. Read Matthew. It might be the second chapter, but it tells where Jesus, an angel came to Joseph and told him to take his children, the child and his wife, into Egypt. I think that is in verse 2, the very beginning of Matthew. And he does. And those people in that country, they are not white-skinned like the Edomites, the Adumians, or white people. They are dark-skinned like me. And that's my argument for saying that Jesus is a black person. I stopped off at verse 29. Let's pick up there and read. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. You know it. Look at what happened to Flint, Michigan, over because some persons wanted to save money and not pay Detroit money for getting water from it. Well, all this water belongs to God. We should not have to pay a water bill, period, except for maybe a little. And now our water board has been given to someone else. My tax dollars went to build Detroit Water Board, not those people from outstate who have been assigned to run that water board. I pray this day we get it back. Let me stay focused. We are in Luke chapter 10, or Luke chapter 11, verse 29. Let's read again. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. Now, in the Old Testament, I should have looked up where it is, but Jonas was assigned to go to Nineveh and preach to the Ninevites. As I read on, it will explain. Verse 30, and as Jonas was assigned to the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. So he's telling us that when you see Jesus come again, or Yeshua, the white man changed his name to Jesus. I don't know why. They will give you an explanation, but you be leery of any explanation they give you because of the way they treated us as a people, all dark-skinned races, people, race of people. Verse 31, the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the uppermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And I'm wondering, where did she come from? And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. So the people of Nineveh is going to condemn this generation as well as the queen of the south will condemn this generation. Let me pick up reading at verse 32 again. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. They repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater king than Jonah is here. No man, when he has lighted a candle, put it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which came in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, your eye is single. The whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is evil, the body also is full of darkness. Those are the leaders who are in rule up in Lansing. Their eye is full of darkness. But God's going to take care of that. Verse 35, take heed. The word heed means pay attention. Therefore, that the light which is in you be not darkness. If the whole body, therefore, shall be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle does give you light. Verse 37, and as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought means to beg him, to dine with him, and he went in, sat down to meat. Now, a Pharisee, those are the people that criticize Jesus for keeping Moses' laws and the sayings of the prophets. Verse 38, and when the Pharisee saw, he marveled that he, Jesus, had not first washed before dinner. When he said washed here, I believe he means washed his hands. Verse 39, and the Lord said unto him, Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter? A platter is an oblong plate, but you indeed part. I said, but your inward part is full of ravaging. And ravaging means cruel or barbarous and wickedness. You fools, do not he that made that which is outside, that which is without, make it that which is within also? But rather give him alms. Alms is a handout of such things as you have. And behold, the things that are clean unto you. Verse 42. Perhaps let me go back to verse 39. It's important that you understand what I read, and I understand it too. Verse 39. And the Lord said unto him, now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravaging and wickedness? And I told you, ravaging means cruel and barbarous. You fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things seen unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe. Tithe means to give a tenth of mint and rue and all manner of herbs. And that's what mint and rue are. They are herbs. And pass over judgment and give, pass over judgment and the love of God. Take out you to have done. I think I should read verse 42 again. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe, that's give a tenth, of mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for you love the uppermost seats in the synagogue. And a synagogue is a church or a greeting place where people meet. And greetings in the market. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Hypocrites are those who pretend. They'll tell you one thing and do another. They are dishonest. And a scribe is the interpreters of Moses' laws, as well as what the prophets have said. You hypocrites, for you are graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. And I think I should read verse 43 and 44 again. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for you love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the market. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Verse 45. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, and that's what a scribe is too. They call them lawyers. Verse 45. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, say, thus saying, you reproachest us also. And reproaches means to strongly criticize and make dishonor. And he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, woe unto you also, you lawyers, for you laid means to load men with burdens, grievous means outrageous or shameful to be mourned, and you yourself touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. I'm going to stop here at verse 47 because I have a few seconds left. Verse 47. That's where I will start off at next Sabbath. Let's have a closing word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to come through this medium and read your word. I pray that you give us more listeners. And as always, I say this prayer in Jesus or Yeshua's name. As always, take our Heavenly Father with you everywhere you go. And if it is God's will, I will be with you next Sabbath. I believe it is His will. See you next Sabbath. Talk with you next Sabbath. I love doing what I do now. I was so afraid to do what God had told me.
Help your children.
And that is to seek His feet.
And don't let them fall.
People,
on the road.
So that means light, black, yellow, green, every kind of people. Listen to me. Amen.
to love one another, that heaven might find a place in their heart. 'Cause Jesus is love. He won't let you down. And I know He loves forever in my heart. We've got to walk on, walk on through temptation, 'cause He word will be our salvation.